Bill's mentioned earlier to bring the word to us today. Gary Turner is a good friend and brother of ours, and we've loved him and his family for many years. And so Gary has just been gifted by the Lord to preach the word, and we're privileged to have you here again this morning, brother. If you want to come on up, and I'll say a prayer for you as you bring the word to us. Glad to have you today.
Amen.
Father, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy and grace, God, that we don't deserve. And we thank you for what you bring us through and what you're going to take us through. And Lord, you've given us many people here over many years. So many could say we thank God for them. And my brother Gary is one of them. And Father, we just thank you for the privilege to hear from him and for the mercy and grace you've given him and his family in their life. And let that grace now just flow through him as he brings us your incredible word. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You can always tell someone that knows you real well. He starts off by praying for forgiveness.
I'd like to ask if you will this morning to do something that you probably will not have an opportunity to do the rest of this week. In fact, in all truth, you probably haven't got to do it this week.
Our first verse that we're going to look at real quickly, it's found in Psalms. It's Psalms 46:10. And it simply says this: be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You see, I disagree with some folks. I don't believe that we are the busiest generation. I believe we're the most distracted generation. I believe that there's so many things going on around us, especially even while we're here in church, that it's hard for us just to slow down just a little bit in a fast-paced world and listen to God. The wonderful thing about Psalms 46:10 is you can experience that, you can share that anywhere, anytime. In the middle of the night when you wake up, be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Be still and know that He loves you. And that's one thing I don't know that our pastors say enough to the flock, and that is that God does love you. You see, we have the same daddy. Our Heavenly Father is our Heavenly Father, and that makes us brothers and sisters. And that's why every now and then you hear someone say, how you doing, brother? Well, you know, sister, it's almost outdated now. You know, there's some things we used to do in church we don't do anymore. But the truth of the matter is, this morning I will ask you, as I did the last time I was here, and that is, please do not listen with your ears, because that's flesh. Please take time to slow down and listen with your heart. Intellectually or through our intellects, we can accumulate all kinds of things, but most of them don't hang on very long. At 66 years old, I was exposed to a lot, and thank goodness I forgot some, but unfortunately I have forgot some others. But things that rest in our heart, things that touch our heart, those that live around us that have given us that strength at times when we were weak, we don't ever forget. We remember the ones who in our deepest hour of need came to us with a prayer, who came to us and said, you're my friend, you're my brother, my daddy sent us. And so this morning, Psalms 46:10. Why should we be still? There's three things real quickly I'm going to share with you just on this, and then we will get to our text. The first thing is to create or center our will on God's will. So many times we make mistakes and work in our own plans. Our plans are imperfect. Our timing is imperfect. Jesus, as we know, was the only perfect being ever walked upon this earth. And guess what? His plan's perfect. Young folks, there's a lot of different people you can consult as to your future. I encourage you to consult your Heavenly Father. Simple little prayer. We don't have to have all kinds of words and things said in a prayer. We can have all kinds of forms. But what we can do is when we pray, when we speak with our heart, God listens to us. But as my brother gave an example a while ago, the first thing we have to do is to ask for forgiveness, because if we have sin in our heart, the Word says He will not hear our prayers. And so we ask for forgiveness. That's not popular nowadays to hear that. It's not really politically correct, but I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't care. I'm more concerned about what God's Word says about us and our world than I am about what the world says about my God. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If you listen to the world, if you let the world guide you, you won't have a God. You won't have peace. And you'll never experience the love of Jesus Christ like you should. That may not be politically correct, but it's the truth. One of my favorite movies is A Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson makes that comment when he's asked by Tom Cruise for the truth. He says, you can't handle the truth. Family, we can handle the truth. The truth is the difference between what goes on inside here and in our hearts and what goes on outside. And so we need to center our will on His will. We need to seek God above everything else. So young folks, on your future, do that. The rest of you guys, antiques like me, there is no retirement in God's army. We are still soldiers of the cross. Is there such a word as soldier yet? Probably not. But anyway, it doesn't make any difference. There is no retirement if in my last breath I can simply say the name of Jesus. What else do we need? Last, be open to divine persuasion. Who can guide you better than the one that knows it all? Now, we use that term sometimes in a bad form when we say somebody's a know-it-all. God is omnipotent. I praise God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so using that as a foundation for you just to kind of slow down for just a few moments. The question is this. What do I need to do? What is it in my daily walk that I need to do to draw closer to God? Or in some cases, what do I need to do in order to receive Christ? Now the Jews knew they had 613 commandments. And the young man we're going to listen to in just a moment had written these commandments probably several times. And because he had written them so many times, he knew them very well. And this young man had a question. And his question was very simple. What's the most important? Of all the commandments, what is most important? If you will, turn with me this morning, if you have your Bibles, and turn to Mark, the 12th chapter, the 28th verse. Mark 12, 28. The young man comes and asks a question. Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he was answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment? In other words, what is the most important commandment of all of them? We've got 10, we can't handle them. We actually have 11, but this one. But of all the commandments, which one's the most important? In other words, if I can't do them all, just give me one to shoot at. Give me one to try. And Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This was part of a prayer that the Jewish people prayed every morning when they first woke up and every evening before they shut their eyes for sleep. They prayed that prayer and the continuation of it. And then he gets to the meat. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he goes on to say that, and the second is like that, and that is you shall love your neighbors as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now look on your left and right and say, hi, neighbor. I heard a statistic the other day, and I really like this statistic. It says that 2 out of every 3 people in a gathering are stupid. Look to your left and right. How you doing? And you shall love the Lord your God. Didn't say you might. Says you shall. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All right? If we were going to have a get together, and this is the rule, what happens if we do it? What happens to our hearts? What happens to our lives? What happens to our families if we do it? Because what I'm sharing with you this morning, I really believe with all my heart, you can judge your walk. Not me judge it, but you can judge your walk with God right now. And if you don't have a walk, then most of this will be Greek. But in God's perfect timing, I pray that you will want a walk. You can judge your walk with it. You can judge your family's walk with it. You can judge your church. You can look at it and see if it is where it needs to be. Notice I didn't say judge each other. You see, God does love you. He's never looked in a mirror with you there and wished it was somebody else. Because He loves you just like you are. But as old Max Cato used to say, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. And so now to find the answer to that, let's go to John the 14th chapter. John the 14th chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 15. I gave you the commandment. Actually, it's plural. I gave you the commandments. Love God first, most of all. Love your neighbors yourself. Verse 15, chapter 14, the book of John. If you love me, what's it say? Keep my commandments. If. That's a hinge on a door that can swing either way. If. If you love me, keep my commandments. And what will happen if you keep his commandments, if you love him? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for a while. For a few minutes, a few hours. No, what's it say? Forever. You see, God is the only constant. He's the only thing that will not change. And he will send us a helper. Now, we know that helper is the Holy Spirit. And because there are some that have abused the thought and the principle that the Holy Spirit is part of, we kind of shy away from it. But I want you to get involved in it. That is our helper. That is God present with us in our hearts as the Holy Spirit, the one that will guide you. And look what he does. He said the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. The world doesn't want to know the truth. But let me tell you something. Your neighbor does. And I'm not talking about the one that's in this room. I'm talking about the one that you encounter when you go to the grocery store, the one you meet when you're at work. I'm talking about the one that when you go to the Great W and worship at Walmart and give them a big offering. I'm talking about places like that. In their heart of hearts, they want to know the truth, but they don't want to ask. Did you ask? Who was that Sunday school teacher? Who was that person, that mom, that dad, that grandmother, grandfather that first told you about Jesus? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise. That is a promise. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father. And you are in me, and I am in you, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I added the last part. He who has my commandments and keeps them. He said it the second time. If God says something once, it's pretty well solid. If he says it twice, I think we really need to listen and pay attention. Go back to it. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And I will manifest myself to him. What is meant by that word, manifest? Conjure up? No, not in this tense. Not the way that's used here. He will come to you and supply your needs. What kind of needs do we have? We have spiritual. We have physical. We have mental. We have financial needs. Okay, so Turner, you're telling me that God's going to come to me and pay my bills. No. But if you will seek his face and not his hand, he will provide. So when he manifests himself, what does that mean? That means he comes to you in your need, in your moment, and he gives that for what you need. Now stop and think about it. What's your need? Where you are in your world right now, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, what is your true, honest need. Think about it. In a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to pray about it, where you are. But He will manifest Himself, and He will come to you, and He will supply that need that we each have. You say, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm fine. I'm doing great. Are you really? Okay, what about somebody else's need? I've been talking about us. I mean, we got personal here. What about other people's needs? What about the people that Dan mentioned in the Andes? They need to hear the Word of God. And I praise God this church has a missions heart. There's children outside these walls. The young folks, unless you invite them, they're not going to come. Or they'll look at Tom and they'll believe Tom. But they're going to watch what you do, and they listen to what you say. And if there's no difference between you and those in the world, then why should they come? But I believe there is a difference. Because that God that lives within us has manifested Himself as strength for you, as guidance for you. For the rest of us, what's He given us? He's given us peace in our hearts to know that no matter what happens, we can hang on to that nail-scarred hand, and He will walk with us. And the wonderful thing about it is I look over my shoulder, a majority of the time there is not two footprints. There's just two footprints, not four, because He carried me. He carried you. Those times we came up with those great ideas that bailed us out of this and that, guess where they came from? God manifested Himself in the Holy Spirit. He came to us and gave us that of what we need. And so He manifests Himself. Verse 23, and Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Got that? And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I know some of you have been in this situation because you shared it with me at various times. And I'm talking about primarily the older group here. That there was an opportunity you had to witness. And as you began to witness, the scripture came to your mind. And you shared that scripture and you thought, where did that come from? You know where it comes from. It comes from your daddy. Your heavenly Father. So that you could have a word that would touch a heart, that would help someone walk closer to Him. A word that would help someone to walk that first step, to take that first step towards Him. That's what He did. I love to talk about healing. I remember a time about 26 years, 25 years ago, walking back into this sanctuary. I went from 211 to 230-something pounds to 159 pounds. I had cancer. You don't think prayer works? Ask Linda. Ask Joe McCoy. Ask Roy Day. Just ask anybody. Prayer works. And there's those times in our hearts and our lives that we don't know what to pray for. Have you ever been there? I have. God, I know my need, but I don't know what to pray for. And the Bible says that He hears the groanings of our heart, and that word in Hebrew is the same word as when a woman has birthing pains. And deep down in our hearts, we groan, and He hears that. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, and He goes to the Father, and He says, your son needs this. And so what do? We keep the commandment. We love Him. We work every day to love Him more. If you have any inspiration at all, look around at your family. Look around at your home. And I'm just talking about in the home possessions, but I'm talking about relationships that you have with each other. There is no relationship more important. There is no healing that God ever did in my life more important than that day that we were reconciled, sinner to God, by Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's Hill. It's greater than any cancer healing. It's greater than anything I've ever seen. Because enabling me to do that through Christ has given me a peace that even in the midst of the storm, I know what He can say. Peace, be still. And I walk with Him. And there's times I question Him. I have have questions for Him, and He gives me answers. And sometimes He tells me to be quiet and listen. Be still and know that I am God. He says He will teach you all things, and He will bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then He says something that you hear on TV from time to time if you listen to a certain program. Let not your heart be troubled. He uses it for a moniker. I use it as a rock to stand on. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, fear is one thing that keeps us from being the people of God we need to be. There's an old acronym, F-E-A-R. False emotions appearing real. It's not right. With our Lord, we have no reason to fear anything or anybody, whether it's popular or unpopular. The one thing that we know is His word is right, and His truth will remain forever. You know, it's a really special time. Through the last few months, we've been able to preach in several places and do revivals, but just something about coming home. And it's something encouraging by the outreach that's going on in the building that's going on. And I'm encouraged to see that doing the way it is. My prayer is that your hearts are also growing in knowledge of Him. And I know if you'll listen to the leadership of this church that it will. And they didn't tell me to say that. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the leadership follows the risen Savior. So my question, last question today is this. Can you keep the commandment? If you want to know why there's hell on earth, you're not keeping the commandment. If you want to know why things don't go right, we're not keeping the commandment. He simply says this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love that neighbor as yourself. The first love we extend is the love of Christ. I want to ask the praise and worship team if they'll come on up front. We're going to have just a few moments of invitation. And you know, the sad thing about invitation, a lot of times folks don't tell you what to do. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, most of what I said today doesn't make a lot of sense, but something has touched you. The prayer I prayed as Dan was praying earlier was this. Father, I pray that you so strongly this day that you'll put salt on the hearts of those who are here, and that those that do not know you, only that living water will satisfy that thirst. And that today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you never took that step of faith, I pray that today will be that day for you. If you're here today and you've been a Christian for a long time or short time, but you've drifted away, you've gotten off the path, you weren't concerned about the great commandments, you're just trying to keep away, that today you will rededicate your heart to Him, that you will take that stand. It's not popular outside the walls, and there's all kinds of neat names for us, but hey, let them go for it. But it's the truth. If you're here today to receive Him, you're here today to rededicate your heart. Whatever it might be, I pray that you will have the strength of His convictions and not the strength of ours as we pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to come before this flock of witnesses. And I thank you for knowing that, Lord, you are a loving Father. I'm not so naive to think that everybody had a beautiful, wonderful day, but you have been. And I thank you for knowing that Jesus, your Son, gave that we might receive. Father, I remember the old folks praying about a free pardon of sin that was paid for on Calvary's Hill. To be someone here today that wants to start keeping that one commandment, to learn how, as I have tried to learn, may they come forward and simply walk by. The wonderful thing is, God, you'll take us just like we are. We don't have to turn over a new leaf because we tried then and it didn't work. All we have to do is admit that a sinner. And by faith receive Christ. Jesus, I stand in awe of you. How could you love somebody like me? And I know you do. Father, let those that need to come. In Jesus' precious name, amen.